here momentarily.
Alright.
This is to call the Newport Urban Renewal Agency meeting to order for the meeting of Monday, May 2nd, 2022. Roll call, Peggy, please.
Goble?
Yes.
Sawyer?
Here.
Parker?
Here.
Kaplan?
Here.
Bateo?
Here.
And Jacoby?
Here.
Okay, public comment. Is there any public comment for this meeting, Peggy?
I don't believe it's for this meeting. Is this for the council meeting or urban renewal? Okay. Yeah. No, no, you can stay here. I just wanted to make sure we weren't missing you.
Enjoy yourself.
Okay, in that case, I guess I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar. And Peggy, what does that entail for today?
The consent calendar tonight consists of the approval of minutes of the meeting of April 18th, 2022.
Second.
Okay, a motion has been introduced by Councilor Jacoby, seconded by Mayor Sawyer. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It's like we have unanimous 6-0 approval of the minutes. And Spencer, Executive Director.
Sure, I'm going to turn it over to Derek here to talk a little bit about the draft RFP, and we want to get your input on this document. And so, Derek,
why don't you present what you pulled together here for this parcel?
Sure. Derek Tokos, Newport Community Development. And what you had included in your packet is a draft of the RFP soliciting development proposals for the 2.3 acres that the agency owns at the intersection, the newly signalized intersection of 35th and 101. Not going to go through the entire document word by word, but excuse me, I do want to get your sense on a few things, the schedule and some of the key considerations that I've outlined in here. If there's anything that you feel is missing or should be reframed, I would very much appreciate your feedback in that regard. But what you have is it's broken down into site context, development considerations. The example concepts are the three concepts that were developed as part of the refinement plan that was completed last fall, and the public outreach that occurred as part of that. And then section five, I'm going to spend a little bit of time with you on the submission and evaluation process. Make sure you're comfortable with that. So the objectives, you know, are as outlined in the refinement plan, which are, you know, is to create a neighborhood hub and gateway to South Beach, support food entrepreneurs and surrounding businesses, provide a gathering space for residents and visitors with a variety of retail and or restaurant choices, and create a stopping point for users of the South Beach bike ped network that connects the site with key destinations. You know, we did spell out in here some of the opportunities and challenges, just put it all out there, although any proposer is going to have their own judgments in this regard. But there's a lot going for the site in terms of its visibility at that corner intersection. It's close to a number of key destinations, as you know, in South Beach, and the multimodal connection and the ability to be part of a South Beach brand. But it's also far from downtown and other commercial activity. It is an arterial roadway context, and that has some limitations on what you can pull off. And there's no existing building that would be on the property that would be a centerpiece for some sort of adaptive reuse. And we also have to keep in mind the coastal weather conditions. So when I get into development considerations, site availability is a big one, just so any proposer knows when the site would be available for them to actually develop, secure and develop. And we have two existing tenants. We have the South Beach Church, which occupies a 6,500 square foot structure. And then you have Oregon Coast Community Forest Association. They are winding down. They may be out at this point, but I haven't received final notice from them. So they're technically still a second tenant. What we're looking to do here is set this up for new development in 2024. That means existing tenants would need to be out sometime in 2023. I left that blank. I think we want to make sure that South Beach Church has an opportunity to relocate. They have a site that they're working on. This would give them through the 2023 construction season to get relocated in a new facility built at the site that they're pursuing. We would then clear the site. We have funds reserved for that purpose, and it'd be available for development in spring of 2024. You know, to bring in somebody to develop on that site, realistically, that's going to take them about that much time anyway, because they're going to need time to develop, you know, a plan and get a concept approved through the agency, get it, you know, construction plans prepared. There's a number of things that go into that that's going to take them a little bit of time anyway.
So, Derek, on that, your development, you're thinking about the spring, summer of 24. Is that what you're implying?
Actual construction, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Right. There'd be quite a bit of work that has to happen before you get to that point. So my thought is that whoever's selected to redevelop that property would be working on that actually in parallel with the church working to relocate to another location. Concept here is that, again, we would clear the site. I did include in here environmental considerations. There's one storage tank that will need to be removed. We would do that as part of the site prep. And that sits just north of the church. Wanted to point out to proposers that system development charges are probably not going to apply because of the amount of prior development on the property, and those get translated to dollar for dollar credits, and I outline those in the memo. There are some zoning changes we'd be looking to make, and I did, you know, the Planning Commission's working on that. They actually had a chance to take a look at this as well, and their feedback was incorporated in the draft that you have. We do need to make a few changes to the zoning. That whole area up there is probably going to get shifted to more of a commercial versus light industrial. That way, you're going to have a more compatible list of uses, and we need to address that pretty robust 50-foot setback. Did point out that the agency has reserved funds on a different project, but would be running a parallel course, is the Gateway project, and that's what's outlined there, so that they can see that, you know, there's much more that's going to be happening down there than just this site that we're putting out for proposals. As we've discussed in the past, urban renewal agencies have the ability to attract the right type of development. That's really what we're looking for. You can write down the value or discount the value of the land at an appropriate level. What I put in here is what was in the refinement plan that you already had a chance to take a look at and approved, which is, you know, that while the agency's prepared to offer that kind of write down, even up to the full cost of the land, preference is that it not exceeds $750,000, and then I put in here how that determination would be made. There's been a fair amount of public outreach that's been done to date. However, there will be more. I mean, this again is Urban Renewal Agency is a government body, and the successful proposer needs to be aware that their plans and vision for the site are going to be vetted publicly more than they would if they were just doing this project on their own, and just to be prepared to deal with that and work with that through the process. Then I put in the three concepts. You've all seen these before. They're in the refinement plan, but anything from the kind of the food cart, small grocery concept to mixed retail to a larger anchor. These properties immediately to the south where Arrow and Columbia Distributing are located, and they are actually looking to relocate to a different property. They're working on that right now. Those properties are only in play if those private owners want to participate, and we made that very clear in the proposal. But, you know, that's still an option out there that would expand the footprint, the ability to promote redevelopment down there. Includes the potential of, you know, funding to remove billboards as well to try to improve that kind of, you know, aesthetic as you move into South Beach. So there, you know, the proposal has, you know, a list of criteria and a suggested page limit, which I kind of outlined here. You know, vision carries the most points, 50, but financial capacity and the level of experience of the development team is going to be important too. So I try to kind of break that logically out. It's on a 100-point scale. And then the evaluation process, this is one, this is not like this is a piece of property that we've had people already kind of beating the, you know, beating down the door to want to redevelop. You know, I have 30 days in here. I think that probably we're going to need a little bit more time to reach out to different potential developers and get them on board. So I'm thinking 60, 90 days probably makes a little bit more sense there. So instead of a July 8th, 2022 deadline, well, we'll try to build in a little bit more time in that schedule.
And I think 90 days would be appropriate for this scale of a project. They're going to have to do quite a bit of work if they haven't been looking at the site previously.
So what I can do is retool that schedule to provide 90 days up front where we'd be able to reach out to. There are a number of developers that we were able to connect up with as we were doing the refinement planning process, but there are others we haven't had a chance to talk to yet, and we'll want a little bit of time to do that. And then we put a little bit of language in there regarding public records disclosure. You know, again, agency is a public entity, and so anything that's submitted as a proposal is available to the public, and any proposer needs to know that unless they have a legitimate argument that what they're providing is a trade secret type component, in which case we can evaluate that under Oregon public records laws, which address that. So, thoughts on the proposal?
Any questions for Derek? Jan? Yeah. And then Beatrice and then Dean.
So, so a developer makes a proposal. Now, that would eventually result in most likely retail office, some tenants filling this.
Right.
Do they have to have that lined up before they make a proposal, or do they sort of propose vaguely and then depending on who wants to rent? How does that process work?
You know, my suspicion is, you know, hopefully you're going to have multiple proposals. Mm-hmm. Some of those proposers will be proposing, you know, their own product on there. So they're not pulling in a third party. They're proposing to develop it with whatever their grocer or their retail. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So you'll know in that case who that is. And they may, you know, say you do the small grocery with a food cart component. Maybe they come in as a grocer and anchor and are prepared to facilitate the food cart component, but you don't know who's going to be in the food cart yet. But you'll know what the space allocations are, how many carts can be accommodated, that kind of thing. Right. I can see that. It is possible that you have somebody who comes in with a retail concept where they don't have their tenants lined up yet, where it'd be multi-tenant retail, small, where they would frame out what the range of potential tenants could be. And you may have some questions as to, well, what's your timing? You know, those are all legitimate questions. How quickly do you expect to lease up? Have you made contacts with various parties? That's all part of the vetting process. Okay. So that's all fair game.
So those are good questions for us to be asking.
Absolutely.
About a developer. Mm-hmm. Just one quick other question. The write down, that language, write down just means a sale?
That we discount the value of the property.
Discount the property.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
To make it more attractive.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a question regarding what you said about changing the code to commercial. Mm-hmm. So with the county, So when we are talking about changing the code, is it a change that is going to allow having housing, like a mixed housing, or just commercial?
You know, all of our commercial districts allow residential on other than street grade already. And we're required to allow affordable housing in a number of contexts as well now, statutorily. So the commercial zoning would have some limited housing allowance in line with what we're doing now. We're not talking about putting a new, different commercial zoning in place. We're talking about applying one of our existing commercial zones, like a C1 or C2 probably in that range. And both of those would allow residential on other than street grade.
Dean and
my second question is, what about you know, the codes? It's a hazard zone, mm-hmm. so and that, I mean, it's recognized like a, you know, tsunami zone. But in that case, is any coding on building housing there?
The tsunami hazard overlay we have is not a hazard in the context that you're talking about. It doesn't prevent housing. What it really is shooting for is preventing very high occupancy type uses, ones that would have hundreds of people at a particular location at a given time. Or it's also keyed at trying to ensure we don't have sensitive populations in that area. Assisted living facilities, people who couldn't get to high ground in the amount of time they're going to have, you know, when we do have a tsunami. But housing is not restricted, just general housing is not restricted with that overlay.
Mm-hmm. On the RFP, mm-hmm. do you put a sale price on that, or is that something that we get an appraisal for?
That's part of the proposals.
Yeah.
So what we're saying is, you know, a write-down is on the table, but we're not being specific as to exactly what that amount would be. We're saying the agency's preference is not to discount more than $750,000 off the value of the property, but you may be willing to do more based on the proposal. You know,
So whoever wants to get the property would give us a price, as it were, and we'd have to
yep.
figure out if we accept that or not.
Exactly.
Because I think that with the market lately, real estate has gone up since we bought it.
Mm-hmm.
So we could probably assume we're going to get a little bit more than we actually paid for it in the first place.
If you want to get full market value of the land, but it may be that you don't want that because you want a particular use there, and that it's more important to get that use long-term in the community than it is the full market value of the land. And it's a judgment you'll need to make.
Understood. Thank you.
Thanks, Derek, for the presentation. And I know we paid a lot of money to the consultants to come up with these different mm-hmm. scenarios for how to develop a property.
Mm-hmm.
Are the proposers bound by that?
No. Those are just examples.
Propose anything, because all of these proposals are based on buildings being on the highway frontage and parking mm-hmm. behind. What mm-hmm. happens if a proposer does something different? That would still be acceptable, right?
Correct. This is for them to visualize what we're looking for potentially, but it has to be one of these three examples. This is to give them an idea of what we're looking for based on the work we've already done with the community. But it's not binding.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for Derek? Otherwise, I guess we'll move to adjournment.
Just on this situation, we will be bringing back a proposal for formal approval by the council, or by the Urban Renewal Agency,
two weeks. Yeah.
And so that'll be, again, based on the comments that everyone seems satisfied with kind of the basic structure, what you get back in 2 weeks is going to be very similar to what you see tonight. But we'll be asking for formal approval so that we can initiate that process, and Derek will update the dates based on a 90-day window, and we'll go from there.
I think the spirit of it is, and maybe Derek, you can give me an up or down on this, is we're soliciting all, you know, reasonable proposals to redevelop this area. I mean, that's kind of the goal, right? We want to, and then see where whatever is put in front of us as proposals, we can go from there.
Right.
All right. We are adjourned at 6:01 p.m.
Okay, Peggy, do we need a short break?
Yeah, let's take.
Yeah, we need five.
Minutes. 5 minutes. Okay, we will re-adjourn in 5 minutes.
Yeah. We're moving right along. Is there any other presentation or reason I need to leave this up, Peggy? I'm going to shut this down at this point. Right, right. So it's okay if I shut it down?
Keep it going, keep it going.
All right, I'll shut it down. Right, I can shut it down. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's there.
I just asked, you know, for one.
I've tried the sushi place. It's not bad.
It would be nice, you know.